Oh, Creator God, we give you thanks for your creation and for creatures to lift up our voices together, to have time around the word, around fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. We give you thanks for a community that you've crafted and created for the sake of shaping our souls for eternity. So thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you for your artwork displayed in this outdoor arena. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name. And his people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated, it won't go back to the yellow insert. Don't worry, introverts, okay? But if you would turn to that green insert, you'll find the message outline as well as today's Bible text on the back side. Last week, if you missed last week, you missed probably your lone opportunity to bring a spittoon into the sanctuary. Those opportunities don't come every week. But last week, we talked spitting as it related to the sport of baseball and covering a couple lessons from Jesus with some spitting stories himself. All summer long, we've been doing this little play on the Bible and baseball, looking at the sport of baseball and seeing what it says about our biblical story of faith. And last week it was spitting, and Jesus' spitting stories that brought healing, as well as the spit he received when he was en route to the cross, and what kind of a forgiving Savior he is in that story. And so the sport of spitting with some spitting stories in Scripture. Today, we're going to cover a close cousin of spitting. We're going to talk seeds, one of those elements that's often exuded in those spitting in the sport of baseball, seeds. My father growing up used to say that baseball was my best sport, but I always knew that I was more made for track and field come springtime than baseball. And I knew it based on what you shove in your mouth. Those that are destined for baseball greatness, they can shove these seeds in their mouth, pouch them in one corner, and do this little exercise that I'm pretty sure burns more calories than it actually consumes, where they take the seed in their mouth. They take the seed, suck off the outer flavor, split the seed in their mouth, take out that little kernel of the sunflower seed, consume the kernel while spitting out that outer shell. And this just beautiful dance that baseball players have. I didn't have it. My ritual for seeds was to take a single seed, put it in the mouth to suck on, take it out of the mouth with two fingers, crack the outer shell, open it with my fingers, take out the little kernel, consume it, and then discard the outer shell. I knew I wasn't cut for baseball based on what took place in the seeds. If you've been around or away from the sport of baseball for any length of time, the love of seeds has not changed whatsoever. As a matter of fact, it's increased. There's now not just salt-flavored seeds. There's barbecue, there's queso, there's dill pickle, there's sweet and sour. There's all these flavors that you can make a five-course meal from just what you put in your mouth. My son for Little League began Little League this year, and at one of the games there, it was a scrimmage preseason. There was one boy that busted out the seeds on the bench, and all of a sudden, all the teammates huddled around, hands out, waiting to get some seeds dropped in their hand, forgetting to cheer on their teammate that is out there in that way. It's a big thing, if you've been away from baseball, this love of seeds. Did you know seeds also come up in the Scripture story of things? Jesus repeatedly points to the value of seeds in this faith lesson. Not too long ago on Easter, we covered the story in 1 Corinthians where Paul compares these bodies to seeds, only a shell of what's to come in the resurrected body to come. And so we talked about that just a couple months ago with Easter as these bodies being seeds. Jesus told a famous parable where seeds are planted in different kinds of soil. Some soil is rocky soil, some soil is thorny soil, some soil is good soil, other soil has birds attacking that soil. And all those soils were really Jesus talking about our souls, and specifically what kind of soil is our soul in receiving the message of God and planting in our life. Jesus compares faith to a mustard seed and says that if we have it even just that small, that mighty things can be done as a result. If this were not so windy and fall, I would give you all those stories of seeds, but I realize I promised to you summertime, short in time, and you're not hearing half of what I said because the wind's shooting past your ear anyways. And so I'm going to shorten it to one little story found on the back of your message outline where seeds come into play and what Jesus is talking about with his kingdom in mind. And so if you turn with me to Luke chapter 13, we're going to read these two verses with seeds in mind and what Jesus is teaching us with seeds. God's word declares this in verse 18. Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed, which man took and planted in his garden. It grew, and it became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." It's the word of God. It's the story of our lives. And I want to ask you the question. With the kingdom of God in mind, not a rhetorical question. I would love to hear some responses to this, like what we did last week with spit in mind. Why do you think Jesus compares the kingdom to a seed? Right? That's the comparison drawn here. Jesus is teaching on the kingdom of heaven. He's come from the kingdom. He's been there. He alone knows what it's like, and he's trying to teach us who've never been there what it's like and what we have to look forward to. And so as he's trying to teach us and help us wrap our minds around, he takes this little kernel and says the kingdom of God is kind of like this seed. Now, why do you think Jesus does that? What is it about a seed that teaches us, helps us see something about his kingdom come? Responses. And speak loudly. There is a lot of wind today. Fran?
A seed grows.
A seed grows. Fran says a seed grows, and so part of that comparison is that a seed grows just like the kingdom of God will grow in our midst there as well. So seed grows. Good. Good point, Fran. Others? Why do we think? Rich? Seeds need nourishment. And so in much the same way we need nourishment to grow in the faith in that way, Rich, is that the parallel? Yes, needs nourishment. Seeds need nourishment to grow. There's another hand in this direction. Good, Rich. Phyllis? Nourishment, encouragement, and tending to. All these different things, just like a seed needs some water, needs some sunlight, all these different things that help it grow. Seeds and ourselves as the seeds need encouragement, need nourishment, need tending to. Good. Good, Phyllis. Others? Dorothy? The seeds make something different into itself. And so it starts as like this little speck and it turns into a mighty tree. And so there's a transformation that takes place. Good, Dorothy, good. Carolyn? It multiplies. Seeds multiply. Seeds give birth to seeds that give birth to seeds. Good, Carolyn, good. Any others back here now that I left you guys? Does it feel tough being left down in the front of the church? Like, you stake the good seats and then you got left down in all of this there. Eli? Eli says he's already compared faith to a seed, and so he's tying in the kingdom to faith and to the seed. There's this message about how to get to the kingdom in some way through faith, correct? Yes, yes. Faith, kingdom, seed tied together. Good, good. You guys literally could have given the sermon this week, but I need to keep my job security, and so I'm going to repeat what some of you have said and talk a little bit more at length in that on the other side of that green insert. Father-in-law's got one more?
Where's the candy?
he wants the candy. I did bring some seeds, but you guys got a little too more chirpy than I could hand out, so I'll just give a handful out following the service. This will be the candy, and we'll see who's destined for baseball greatness and who's not based on if you can eat a seed or not. Let me just suggest three reasons, many of which were touched on in some of the comments, about why Jesus compared his kingdom to a seed in mind. And the first of those on that side is the size of a seed. The size of a mustard seed, and if you're actually reading around in some other versions, the RSV says a grain of a mustard seed. The New Living Translation says a tiny mustard seed. They're really trying to help us understand just the smallness that is of this seed that Jesus is bringing up. The mustard seed was believed to be, if we're referring to the same seed Jesus is alluding to, about 1.0 millimeters big. Got a little picture on a PowerPoint slide to show you just how big 1.0 millimeters is. It's not clicking through today, okay? To just give you a little comparison, kids, it would be like one Dippin' Dot. Like not the container of Dippin' Dots, but like just one single Dippin' Dot. That's about the size of 1.0 millimeters big. It's small. But it's said that this 1.0 millimeters of a mustard seed grows into a plant in Jesus' day and age in the garden that could be as big as 10 to 12 feet tall. Now, how does 1.0 go to 10 to 12 feet tall? That's a big garden plant, right? Like, after the service, as you're walking to your vehicle, you can peek into my backyard at my garden, and you ain't going to find 10 to 12 feet of nothing growing there. Like, this is big, from 1.0 to 10 to 12 feet tall. There's great size change through this transformation of a seed. And I think in some ways, Jesus pointing to the size of his kingdom and how it has small beginnings and yet great growth. Christianity is tied to Jesus Christ. We're telling that to our Wiggly worshipers on Wednesday each and every week in my class. The reason why we call Christianity Christianity is because Christianity, at the core of it, is the being of Jesus Christ and what he's come to do. You can't spell Christianity without Christ. And so the roots of our faith take place in a tiny podunk town, 1.0 millimeters big, you might say, called Bethlehem, where a little baby is laid in a manger in a night of insignificance to all except some shepherds who heard some stories in the sky of the angel's announcement to them. Happens in the middle of nowhere. Small beginnings, a manger at that. And in 30 years, Jesus gathers with him a growth of 12 disciples who go around with Jesus doing some great miracles, some great teachings that attract a lot of attention, but eventually it lands him one day to be planted on a cross, where he's not just planted, but he's pierced, he's dead, and he's laid behind a tomb thinking that this seed is done. But you know what happens when seeds are planted, right? There's potential for great growth. And Jesus broke through the surface when 3 days later he rose from the dead. In the matter of 50 days, the book of Acts tells us that this small following grows to a following of 3,000 believers. When Peter goes out and preaches and tells the world what Jesus has done on their behalf, 3,000 people take that seed into their own life. Take that message, receive it for themselves by way of faith. Like Eli was saying, the kingdom connected to faith. They planted in their souls, and 3,000 are added to that number. Just two chapters later, that number from 3,000 people goes to 5,000 men, which means that number is great, much greater than 5,000 when you total in women and children. And by the end of the book of Acts, this message, this small beginnings of Jesus the Savior, gets planted in every major city in the Roman Empire, including the capital city of Rome itself. Where by the book of Acts, the end of it, Paul is preaching in prison in the capital city itself. And here we are 2,000 years later. Christianity at this point in history is the largest world religion, at least by name, among people professing faith. The largest world religion, Christianity. Small beginnings. A manger 2,000 years ago that only shepherds had heard some story of, to now, to this day, much of the world, the landscape, being changed or transformed by this message of Jesus. Small beginnings, but great growth, the size of the seed of the kingdom. Point number two, I want you to note the stages of the kingdom. The stages of the kingdom. Whenever you're reading your Bible, zero in on the actions, the verbs found in a text, because the actions always move the narrative along. And Jesus here, in verse number 19, drops four different verbs, four different actions that helps epitomize what a seed is that's characterized through the kingdom living. Four different verbs. They're this one: took, planted, grew, became. Took, planted, grew, became. There's something about a seed in the stages of these actions that epitomize the kingdom taking root in our life. And beginning with that first one, took, it's a basic word in the New Testament. The Greek word is lambano. It's used nearly 300 times in the New Testament. There's many references of it, and it means either take or receive based on context. And the whole premise behind it is that ultimately this seed doesn't originate in us. We receive, we take that which has been given to us. Christianity always starts with this realization, God's done it, and we can either receive it or reject it. God accomplished it. We can either take it, we can either receive it for ourselves, or we can reject it. But the kernel of faith that Christianity is sprouted upon is what God has done through Jesus on the cross and the tomb. And as we receive the kingdom, as we take the kingdom, he does something in our lives, which leads us to that second verse. That message of Jesus, what God has done that we receive, has to be planted. That is sown in our souls. Can't just be a good story in a book. It's got to go to our heart. Has there ever been a moment where we said, God, I believe your story, not just up here, but I want to live your story in here, out here, the shapings, the practices of my life. I want that to be planted within me. Has the message of Jesus ever been personalized, that he died for you? Not just died on some cross, but he died for you, for your sin, for those thoughts, for those actions, for those words that would be characterized as sin. He did that for you. The story of the Christianity and when the kingdom becomes personal is when it's planted, received by faith in each of us. He planted in his garden, becomes personalized in our being. And that leads to that next action. It grew. It grew. There's a journey of this faith, of growing in the faith. As the church fathers would say it, going on to perfection. It's a journey. It's one step in front of another. And I don't have to remind you, but growing is difficult, isn't it? Growing is difficult. Can you think about the stages of a seed in growing? Like that first stage, it's got to break through that hard outer shell of its being, right? Like it's got to break out of that which it's enclosed in. And you've got some stuff that you got to break through too. Usually our hard outer shell has different labels like pride, like stubbornness, like wanting to do things my way rather than God's way. These are shells that we got to break through if we're ever going to grow into this becoming, flourishing, beautiful plant that God's got designed for us. There's some hard outer shells that we got to get through if we're to grow in those ways. And then that next step to growing, it's not much easier, right? After you break out of that hard outer shell, now you got to fight through dirt. Either fight through dirt upward to get some sunlight or fight through dirt downward to put down the roots. But there's fighting in both directions, isn't there? There's some dirt in all of our journey that we've got to work through that's a part of the process of growing. So we do that in both directions with God as our guide. And then once you get to that stage where you've broken through some dirt, there's still this journey of constantly needing nourishment, constantly needing tending, constantly needing care. I think it was Phyllis that was getting at that. The encouragement there, the nourishment, the care, this receiving the word of God and allowing it to wash over our lives, this opening up and spending time with God. I'm planting a garden. I've done it the last 7 years. You know, one of my frustrating points as a gardener is I have to walk past my garden each and every day to get to work. And when you walk past your garden each and every day, you look at it on Monday, and then you look at it again on Tuesday, and you're thinking, man, nothing's happening. Nothing's growing. And then you walk on Wednesday, and it's like, it looks like it did on Tuesday in that way. Because growing involves a lot of waiting. Involves a lot of just taking time in the dailiness of life. Your journey with God is going to include some moments where it feels like nothing's happening, and yet it is happening. Slowly, subtly, right before your very eyes, and yet your eyes aren't depicting it. It's a comparison to the kingdom of God, and the kingdom being planted in us that's like a seed in those ways. And then that growing leads to becoming. That's a transforming word. It changes from a seed to a tree, became a tree. There's transformation. And in this process, in this journey with God, it's a transforming work that takes time, that takes fighting, that takes a lot of shells to be worked through, but it's becoming something that God is using for his glory and for our good. So we don't forget our story through the stages of growth. Amen? Amen? Did I lose you on point two before we could even get to point three? People, we still got like 13 more minutes. We got time, huh? Let me toss out that last one. It's the spread. It's the spread. I think it was mentioned by Carolyn or by Dorothy herself on that side. The seeds produce seeds. The seeds spread. Jesus even alludes to it as his punchline in verse 19. He says, "It grew and it became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." All of a sudden, this tree doesn't exist just for self, right? There's others that are benefiting of this process as well. It becomes a tree that even the birds take some usefulness there out of. Christian, in your journey with God, representing the kingdom, you don't just do it for you. You don't do this to serve self. We serve the world as we're transformed into who God's making us into. We exist not just for ourselves, but to serve others, to serve the birds that may perch in the branches. In that point with seeds begetting seeds, if you look down where we're standing here along these trees, I had it confirmed after the first service, these are maples. Is that correct, second service? Okay. These are maples. They produce helicopters that are their seeds. And did you know any which of these trees was started by like a single one of these? A single one of these that worked its way into the soil, that received the nourishment, that in time, many years, has flourished into these trees that we experience. And now these trees produce hundreds of millions of trillions of these helicopters that land at our feet, that fill our gutters, that go everywhere, dispersed by the wind, dispersed by birds. Seeds give birth to seeds that give birth to seeds, and they've been doing this for 40-some years now. Christian, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And one mustard seed is sent to beget another mustard seed that's beget another mustard seed that's beget another mustard seed. We're to pass on our faith, and we're to plant in that. As God takes the gusts in the directions only he can guide, we're to be doing an eternal planting through this seed-like formation in us. And so that's part of what's explained by what God is doing through this kingdom illustration of a seed. Baseball includes seeds, lots of it. Jesus' kingdom includes seeds, lots of them. A place we've never been to, but where Jesus has come from and giving us pictures of what it's like, he points to a seed. And he says, this is the kingdom of God. This is the work I'm doing in you and through you for those with faith to receive it and to plant it in their being. May God find the fertile soil within. Amen? Amen? You're going to have to speak up a little louder. It's windy. Amen?
Amen.
See, it's quicker when you do it the first time, huh? We are going to close with a song that hits at some seeds. Very first stanza you'll notice on the back of your bulletin says, "In the bulb, there is a flower." A bulb's a seed of a flower, right? In the seed, an apple tree. God's doing something, even through that imagery of what he's planting within us. And so we want to sing it. We want to celebrate it. We want to respond through this. And so, Dottie, if you would, hymn of promise. Only three verses this time, congregation, not seven, okay? Three verses. Let's sing it together, though. Stand as you're able. Hymn of promise.